The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Good morning. Mothers, grandmothers, sisters, and friends of school teachers. And good morning to mothers and grandmothers and sisters of school students. And good morning to our school board wives, pastors' wives, and probably some teachers' wives. So we have many roles combined here in this room. Do you realize the influence that radiates out from this room? As mothers, we alone touch lives that will in turn make a difference on how a child will turn out, what a home will become, how well a school will flourish, how a church is going to grow, and how strong a nation we're going to have. And then, on top of being mothers, a lot of us have the added responsibility of being school board wives, or church leaders' wives, and teachers' wives. So how many times while we're laboring at our mundane tasks of the home, behind the scenes, do we lose the vision of how really important our work is? How many times when our husband comes home and says, "Oh, I have a school board meeting tonight," do we groan inwardly? "Oh, that means I'm going to have to put the children to bed by myself. I'm going to have to help them with their homework by myself. School board meetings last so late, and we're the ones that have to wrap up the evening alone." Many of us in this room have given up husbands, sons, and daughters to the work of school. And if any of you are like me, you feel like you have your plate full, just keeping the work at home done and your family's needs met, just right at home. I know, I'm there. Just a little about myself. I'm a mother of 7 children. We have 5 boys, and I just have 2 girls, 1 big girl and 1 little girl. So I can keep busy right in the kitchen. And right in the house. But I was given the assignment that I'm supposed to tell you how we ought to help out you at school. And I thought, oh my, why'd they ask me to do that? Because I just don't think that way. I'm just one of these moms that I pack my children up, my boys up in the car quick in the morning and race off to school and drop them off and tell them, "Have a good day." And then I go home. I'm going home to my work. And at 3 o'clock, I quick go get them and ask them about their day while we're driving home. And my thoughts are on what I'm having for supper and what I'm going to get done tonight. So I want you to know right up front, I have a really good friend who I sent these papers to. And I said, "What do you think?" And she sent back to me and she said, "Well, I'm glad you told me where you're at. And that you're not," she said, "because I would have been overwhelmed if I would," she said, I would have liked to tell you what the mother's perspective of this whole thing is. No, she said, "But I knew that would be counterproductive if I told you how it feels to be a mom that's so busy, and then here we're supposed to somehow think about helping out at school yet, too." So I want you to know that right up front. I'm going to make you feel busier. But after I studied and I was like, "Oh, what do I do? I don't know. I used to be a teacher, so I had a little bit of perspective, but that's almost 25 years ago, and so I've had a lot of children in school and things like that, but I haven't done much toward helping out at school. So I decided to canvass the country. I said, "I'm going to have to find out what these moms are doing at schools." So most of this stuff comes from other other ladies telling me what they're doing, and teachers. I talked a lot to teachers and stuff and said, what do you wish moms were doing? And what are you doing? What are the moms doing at your school? I want to grow in this area myself. After I heard all these things, I was like, oh my, well, I need to get busy and start thinking more about like what I could do to cheer the teachers up that I relate to. So I hope that by the topic today, some teachers are blessed more than they were before. I hope you'll go home and try a little harder to get in the frame of mind to find time and find ways to encourage your teachers. Because really, the teachers are a lot like us. You think about it. We're kind of glad sometimes to send them out the door and have some time to ourselves. But you know what? They went to a teacher who has to teach them some stuff we didn't get across. If we didn't get them to learn how to tie their shoes, well, there's a teacher that's tying their shoes for them. So they labor day in and day out behind the scenes, caring for our children and teaching them almost more hours than we have them after they start going to school. And how many times do you get a boost when you receive a thank you note from somebody for something that you did? Now, I am one of these, I hang it up on the fridge and I look at it different times because it just helps me feel like doing it again. And, oh, maybe our husbands give us a bouquet of flowers and we just set those things on the table, and every time we look at them, we think about that somebody cared about us. It just cheers up our day. So think about that. We have teachers that need those kind of things too. They need the little notes. They need the flowers. A lot of our girl teachers aren't dating or anything, and they don't get the flower bouquets and stuff that some of us married ladies might. So let's cheer up their day with stuff like that. And give them appreciation. It's going to put a spark back in their lagging feet, knowing that someone really cared about them. There's a verse in another version that says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. From Romans 12, 6 to 8. So if you have been given the gift of encouraging, please use it. But sometimes we need to exercise ourselves in these gifts and let them become a part of us. So that's what we're going to think about today. I have a letter. I send out a lot of emails and stuff, and one mother sent this from her child's teacher, and she said, I think that you ought to read this. So I'm going to read what she said. This is Things a Mother Should Know by Your Child's Teacher. I can always tell when you spend your mealtime at home talking about people. Your child spends her mealtime at school talking about people. When I read that, I was like, oh no, I didn't know that mattered so much. I can always tell when bedtime is not a priority in your home. I can always tell when you verbally and actively support in front of your child, me and schoolwork and the rest of the school system. That note you send just because you wanted to wish me a good day, it made my entire week. I saved it and look at it when I need a boost. You sent your son to school with a fistful of flowers. You have no idea how much that meant to him. You brought in a special treat on your child's birthday. You made her queen for a day. I love to see a child glow. I appreciate it when you personally let me know by phone call or note that your child has a doctor appointment or will be gone for a day for a funeral. While your child can serve as a messenger, I like to hear it from you. You see that your child is prompt in her comings and goings. and we notice. You visited your child's classroom. I know he hid behind a book, but I saw his smile. Don't ask me how your child's doing while she is standing beside you. What am I supposed to say? Help your child be neat by limiting the amount of stuff he takes to school. No child needs 25 pens or 3 packs of pencil crayons. I taught 2 of your children. Both years, you volunteered yourself when we needed chaperones, volunteered your van when we needed transport, and I had to beg for neither of them. Your attitude about homework and learning comes to school. When your child struggled with math, you didn't call to blame me. You asked what you could do to help your child find success. If you don't believe half of what comes home from school, I promise not to believe half of what comes to school. The stories I hear would probably horrify you. Never do or say anything at home that you don't want me to know about. Stress in the home shows up in school. I love your child no matter what he thinks. If some tough love is happening at school, don't take his side. If you believe I'm not handling it right, please don't tell your child. Talk to me about your concerns. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. The best way to handle such situations is to talk to me, not ridicule me in front of your child. The best way a mother can help in the school is by filling her role well at home. Your attitudes, your teaching and training, your marriage relationship, your relationship with your child all play a vital role in making your child's school years the best they can be. A good, secure home life equips a child to handle school, friendships, and the rest of life. It isn't so much about what you parents do as what you are. Your children are your echoes. I recognize the honor you are bestowing upon me by trusting me with your child. I take my responsibility very seriously. If I were to suggest any one thing to do, it would be communicate. The children who have successful school years are those whose parents are in close communication with the teacher. We really do want to work with you. Talk to us. Thank us when we do well. Share your concerns when things aren't going well. We will listen. Anyway, that was a teacher's perspective of things that she felt. I have a feeling she taught fairly many years, but anyway, so I am going to share some things that I learned from other people of what you can do. First of all, we're going to talk about things mothers can do just right from your home without going into the classroom. And then later we're going to talk about things to do by going to the school and helping with things. But I want you to tell me too, because I'm sure there's a lot of things that I didn't uncover. So I'm going to maybe tell you a couple just to get you started, but then I want to have open discussion. I want to hear from you. Maybe not what you're doing, but what you heard mom did that kind of inspired you, or what are people doing in your part of the country to help out at school. So first of all, things that that we can do right from our homes without actually leaving our homes and going into the classroom. Just a few things. I have quite a few, but I want to hear from you. So one mother said to me, she said, well, make sure you tell them that when they have homework, or when they have the first graders have their story that they bring home, you're supposed to read with them. Make sure you tell them that is important to the teachers, that we do victory drill, we do reading the story, we take flashcard, do the flashcard drill with them at home. If the teacher sends it home for us to help them with, make sure we get it done. And of course, teachers are always happy. At least I taught the little room, and I was always happy when children came to school and they knew how to tie their shoes and they knew how to zip up their coat and just things like that. It was fun to help them out, but it was not fun if it was just something you always had to do. They just didn't know how to do it. It's like we got things at home to do to teach them before they go to school, or soon after they go to school. You got to get them get them ready to do some of that stuff by themselves. And I'm a mother of boys, and I think it's kind of important to try teach them to, after they've played a while at recess, that they go to come in from recess, that they think about tucking their shirt tails in and combing their hair a little bit, just to make them look like they're ready to study again without the teacher always reminding them. But boys just don't always think about that kind of stuff. So anyway, I'm going to open it up for you. What do you do, or what can you do from your home that is practical ways that moms can do things for teachers or for the classroom? Or are you like me? When they gave me the topic, I was like blank. I was like, what do you talk about? What are we supposed to be doing to help out in the classroom? Well, one big thing is we need to pray for them. I thought about the example in the Bible where Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms during that one long night or whatever where they were at in battle. I really feel like praying for our teachers is like coming alongside and holding up their weary arms. And we can do that even if we're sitting rocking our children at home or looking at a pile of dirty dishes or whatever. We can be at least praying for what's going on in the classroom.
Our girls are all in school. So I'm at a position where I can easier go. So our school, we have had one of the moms come to me beginning of school and ask if she could start a prayer group, like when we drop the children off, that kind of thing. So we started a prayer walk around the back of the softball field. We just three laps more well. It's a little hard in the winter. You can't always do that. But that's it's a big encouragement.
But what do you do?
Focus
you just
on prayers for the needs of your child, the teacher.
Do you pray out loud, or you just walk quietly? Okay.
Out loud. Just sentence prayers. It's been very meaningful, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. We're able to do that because we're all right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
I occasionally send in an after-school snap for the teachers.
Yeah.
I have several preschoolers, and it doesn't work very well. My husband and I visit school sometimes, just with the baby. Mm-hmm. I can
find
that with my other children.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have that, and was one that different ones talked about, that they really appreciate the snacks after school, even like when they're going to have faculty meeting. They thought it's awful nice when moms decide to send in a special snack for the faculty to eat together while they're sitting there talking. But at least when I was a teacher, a lot of times just impromptu, a bunch of us would just end up in the same room and talking about our day or whatever. And if a mom had sent in something, that was a fun time to just kind of sit around and snack. You're done teaching. Your voice is wore out, and it's nice to have a little snack.
We had one year at school that some of the teachers are basically slow learners that came to school that year, and might have been actually here before already. And so we got the teachers to just come up with like a list of things that the moms could do, like an art project, or maybe some grading or fashion cards to the younger grades, and that worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for us because it kind of gave us a little bit more of an idea of what goes on at school. You can see you're interacting with the children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good.
Mm-hmm. And it helped them out. I mean, they sometimes are really overloaded. And the thing I struggle with is like, I guess you have to, I mean, okay, most of us are school board wives, probably. It's like, we're probably in the place to just quietly pull them aside and ask them if they need some stuff. They might not tell the board, but we can feel their heart cry maybe a little quicker. Especially the girl teachers will open up to us if they really are feeling overloaded, and they might share with us. And maybe we can't, maybe the one who hears it can't even do anything, but we're in the position that at least discuss it with our husbands to go tap somebody on the shoulder and say, you know, would you fill in here? Would you do this for us? Because our teachers sometimes are really loaded down.
I believe prayer has so many different aspects, but something that I found helpful is that at your breakfast table or whatever, but pray that your child hears you praying for him and him or her and their teacher. Mm-hmm. We can pray for the school and the work of the school. But our oldest daughter has a difficulty with spelling. She has slight dyslexia, and just working through her goals, and just the days that she has a spelling test or whatever, that I can remember just to specify that, you know, be with Katrina as she works on her spelling test and help her to do her best. And if she doesn't get 100, you know, she was trying so hard to work on that one specific thing to get, you know, improve her grades on. Be specific in that. And if they can hear you being specific in your prayers, that it's something that they can identify with, they can see God answering that.
And that's a real faith builder. Yeah, I agree. And not only that, if you're struggling with a child who's having trouble being respectful, maybe at school to his teacher and stuff, it's like if he hears you verbalizing, you know, praying for the teacher even, and they help build respect, and he hears you specifically praying for his teacher. Yeah, I like that. Well, when you butcher or have a, you know, something like that, do something like that at home, remember your teachers maybe that are married. I remember my mom doing that. We'd butcher chickens or something, and she'd pack up a special one or two and stick them in the teacher's car. And I remember them specifically telling her that was very, I think, sometimes school teacher men don't make maybe as good a money as what they could have, you know, if they had a specialty job out in the world. And their families, they appreciate things, gifts like that, that are practical to help out at home. And of course, like the teacher said earlier in that letter, if the children need to be absent, make sure we tell them. Don't make the children, just communicate. Really, different ones really stress that the biggest thing they appreciate is just go in or talk to them after church or something. Just find time to communicate with them. Just make sure that you're hearing from the teacher, you know, what they're struggling with, what your child's maybe not accomplishing that they wish they would or something. But just stay close to the teacher and talk to them from time to time. Make them feel like you really do care about what's happening at school. Is there anything else you're thinking of by now? Wasn't such a scary time.
Such a scary time. I said that definitely was a lot different than the experience.
And I missed out on that. I hope we get to do that again. I almost couldn't give up coming that night, but I wasn't fit, so. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Having them over, and it don't even have to be just simply for a meal. I mean, teachers, especially, well, I, for quite a few years, we lived in the South in a little church all by itself. There was nobody anywhere within 4 hours of us at the closest. And we had girl teachers that came in from other communities to teach, and they lived like in someone's basement or something. And they just really, we actually made up a list that we were responsible once a week. Somebody was supposed to have them just to make sure it got done. But we didn't always just even have them for a meal. It was like they just loved if we had them and the children played games together in the evening, or if we were, oh, we already had, you know, somebody was splitting wood or something, and they just loved to get out there and do something with the family. If you have special family fun evenings that you like to do, invite your teachers over, especially your unmarried teachers. It just gets them out and gets them to do something, a stress reliever, you know, just to, and they get to work, they get to be with your children in a little different way than right there in the classroom where they're trying to make sure that they're behaving and all that kind of thing. Yeah, that's a good one. Have them for meals. And we had to back then because we had a schedule. Now we live up in Pennsylvania where there's, you know, it's like they often aren't always living with their they could go all over the place. They have relatives here and there they can go to for the weekend and stuff. And I don't think about it as much as what I did when they were just stuck there. It took some major going if they were going to go home to their families and stuff. And so we felt a little more responsible than what I even do now. That's good. So you just tell them that you're going to pack their lunch for Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody packs their lunch or takes it in.
Okay. That's good. Just that way. Yeah. And you do that kind of, like when you take it for like, if you have multiple teachers, you kind of take it and all of them can share in that, or you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a pizza or pizza or whatever you want to do, sandwiches. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that we had a single fellow teacher for a while that was staying in someone's home. That she was an older widow lady, and she actually asked us. She said, "Will you mothers pack his lunch?" She said, "Till I get up and make breakfast for him and her son that was not married." She said, "I just feel like I don't have time to pack his lunch yet, too." And so we did. We made a schedule up, and I think the one year we packed his lunch for a whole month, and then we'd pass his lunchbox on to somebody else, and we all took our turns. Instead of just like every week you have to remember, well, who was next responsible, we did it by the month, and that way when we were done with our month, then we were done. But you kind of got in the groove and remembered that that's what you were supposed to do. And it kind of helps you learn to know your teacher in a new way, too, because there was different stuff that you kind of learned when you were packing. It was like it would come back, and he'd be like, "Well, it's not that I don't like it, but I just don't need so much food." And I was worried I wasn't giving him enough. What else are you thinking about? Okay, things that you can do at school. I have a sister-in-law that is that goes in and teaches home ec to, what'd she say, 8th and 9th graders, or 7th and 8th graders and 9th and 10th graders, I think. And she gave me a lot of her projects that she's done already this year, that it's a fairly big school, and they have sewing machines and stuff. And so they just try to teach them stuff that will be of interest to them when they're homemakers or whatever, just simple, easy things. She said she can tell kind of if moms have helped the girls learn how to sew. She said sometimes it is kind of frustrating because it's almost like they don't even have maybe the basics of sewing or whatever. And so she's got to almost start from scratch. But anyway, she acts like they just work at trying to sew things that are helpful and simple. And anyway, I brought along a bunch of her projects, and you can look at them afterwards. And then I also brought along a bunch of things that another mother said she was going in and doing craft classes for some of the girls. The men teachers often will feel kind of like, well, they don't know how to do art with the girls as much, and so they'll ask mothers, you know, to come in and do things with the girls while they take the boys and do shop class or something. And so she gave me a whole bunch of patterns and ideas of just some simple stuff and some harder stuff that she thought might be of interest to you. And I asked them when I came, and there is two photocopiers here in another room. And so anything that you might want to take home to pass on to teachers or to other people that you know that might, other mothers that might be wishing for something, it's like we can photocopy here. And they also told me that that if afterwards when the men are having other classes that might, or other topics and stuff that might not be of interest to you, I'm going to put this table somewhere else, probably out in the entryway or something after we're done, because there's going to be other classes meeting here. But they wanted, the board wants us to know that it's okay if we want to sit somewhere or do something while the men are having their things. I'll let this out just so that you don't even have to quick rush and try to worry about it. Now you can do it. I'll have it available for you to look at probably, I think, all day today. I don't know if I'll pack it up for tomorrow or not. But anyway, so just, it's not no big rush. They said we can spend time, you know, somewhere wherever the men aren't having classes. We can be and even, you know, talk more about this if there's stuff that some of you are dealing with that you're wishing you could, you know, get more ideas or whatever. We can do some more things later on today. So anyway, what are some of the things that you do when you go into the school? What are some things that you might have helped out with, like by actually going in to the school? I have a cousin here that gave me a bunch of pictures that you can look at of different things that some things they did, and I told her I was going to make her tell us about it. Okay. She wants you to talk first, and then she'll tell us about it. What are some things like? I had a first grade teacher that gave me a whole bunch of ideas from her years of teaching. Things that moms did that just really was nice for her, and some of those were things like when she taught the ABCs, which is right away as school starts. It's like we're still finishing up canning and all that, but these moms are helping her out. Like she said, one mom volunteered to bring in donut dough and make donuts with the children when she was teaching them the letter D. So, which that's, well, it's not right away. I think you learn the ABCs first. But anyway, it's like they made donuts with the, I guess, just first graders. She had it made that it was okay for. She came in and helped them make donuts. And she said that on the day they learned P, one of the mothers brought in pizza, and she had a pizza party with pretzels and pop and popsicles, all for pee. And she said one parent, which it must have been a dad or something, had a paraplane fly over the school and drop candy that started with the letters C and K. So that would take some thinking ahead. Some plane flew over and dropped candy that started with C and K when they were learning that those letters. And she said she always likes to have a Valentine party special for the first graders to invite their little siblings, like to bring in their little siblings on Valentine's Day. She would have a party, but she would let the moms plan the refreshments and do the decorating. She had moms, I guess, she chose for that, but the children would get to bring in their preschool siblings and have this Valentine's party, and the moms helped her out with that. Anyway, so any of that kind of stuff that you all want to tell us about?
We have three mothers in our school, and then they do the Valentine's party and the birthday party for the teacher, and the Thanksgiving meal, and the Christmas meal, different things they bring in. And I think the teachers are very good.
And you plan it, and you go in and do it for them. Mm-hmm. I had one teacher that told me to specifically mention that even when you do, take a treat in for your child on their birthday, that you go in and you help serve it. Don't just send it and let them be responsible. She said it's so nice when a mom comes in and helps serve it and cleans up afterward, and she don't have to do all that. It's kind of like the mom takes charge while she can sit there and enjoy it a little bit. Okay.
We try to do it, and we like to do it in the winter months, like January or February.
When they're having their... So do you do it at school, like in the cafeteria or in the area, some area there at school? Okay. But it's the school board families that, and the teachers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. We do that too. Our board just recently started doing that the last 2 or 3 years. But it's just the school board wives. It's kind of appreciation for the school board wives and the teachers. And we even have somebody come in, cater it. One of the community, friends or whatever, her and her husband cater it for us. And so it's almost like it's our evening out, too, with our husbands that, kind of our husbands do it in appreciation for us, us school board moms and the teachers. And it is a fun evening. It really is.
Something I'm looking forward to is for my daughter's birthday, we're planning to do soft pretzels at the school for her class and let each child make their own soft pretzel.
Mm-hmm. That's
I haven't done it yet, so it might be something.
But in a way, I think that might be a little easier than donuts. To me, when I read that donut thing, I was like, oh my, you're dealing with hot oil and all that, for first graders. I was like, I believe I'd tackle that in the big room, but I was amazed that they were actually doing something like that. But soft pretzels, at least you're not working with that. And we done that at home, and our children enjoy just making different shapes and stuff too. That'll be a fun thing. Well, Brenda, they were talking now. You may...
So the thing about having the school board and the teachers, we don't have to do it every year, but we had done it when we had teachers that weren't from the community, and we did it right before school, so they could kind of learn to know who was on the board, and we did it right at the beginning of school so that they could know who they're going to be working with.
Mm-hmm. And then you also, as school board wives, you made a special meal.
We
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the pictures you sent me, yeah, that was like more like a hot lunch thing for the whole school.
I enjoy doing stuff more with older students than preschoolers. And there for a couple years, and it all depends who you're on the board with. Some ladies are just completely inspired and they just love to do this kind of thing, and others are like, oh, let's just keep this basic. So we decided once a year we're going to have a special hot lunch. You know, we have hot lunch every other week or whatever we have it. And we decided we're going to do something special in February, you know, February blues. And so this is just some different things that we did, and you can look at the pictures then. One year we had Bible Marketplace, and all our foods were Bible foods, and we set up little booths, and we all were to bring a basket and dress like in Bible times, and they had to take their basket from booth to booth and get their raisins and grapes and, you know, cheese and stuff like that. So we did. Another year we decided we were going to pick a country, and ahead of time we borrowed books from the library at each of the levels of the classes. They had to do something. The younger ones had to color pictures. We did Australia, you know, the unusual animals in Australia. And then some of the other grades had to write like little reports, and then the older classes did a map. And then for the drop-in for the parents, then that came in March, and then we did a bowl of cornholes, like all that stuff. And we served them a meal for our special hot lunch then was all Australian food. So that was another thing we did. Another thing we did, my sister-in-law knew that you could go to McDonald's and give you all the paperware for free if it was for a school. So we got all the burger wraps and the french fry boxes, and we did a McDonald's meal for them. They had to use Monopoly money to buy their food. That was another thing we did. So, yeah.
Thank you. I had intended to try to tell you a little bit about it when I thought about it. Her husband's on the program, and I thought, you know what, if she's here, I'm going to let her tell you. I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you what they did. But I thought, my, when she gave me the pictures and was telling me, I was like, I'd love to go be a school student again and be part of that. That sounded like fun. Sounded like work. I thought, yeah, I can just imagine. I was like, oh, my, that's a lot of work. But what more rewarding thing to do? It's like, I mean, all this stuff takes time, but how many of us sometimes unexpectedly take a whole bunch of time out that we weren't expecting? I just recently was in the emergency room with them. I lost a baby, had a miscarriage and hemorrhaged really bad. And I took time to recover that I wasn't planning on for this winter. I had a lot of things, projects I thought I was going to do. And when I was studying for this, I was like, okay, so I didn't plan for that, but I had to take time on the chair to recover. It was like I just had to find other things to do, which I studied for some of this during that time. But anyway, it was like, so why can't we take time? Why can't we take a couple weeks or a week or something to plan for something big, like she was talking about making these booths and stuff? You know, it's like, it's our children, and they're the only things we got to take along to heaven. It's like, and it's our teachers that we want to keep inspired so that they are helping get our children ready for life. And so why not just give up a couple of our things we just think we have to do to get done this winter, and just take time to spend on projects that are helping our teachers out. What else are you doing? Some more of you got?
Yeah, our teachers were looking for things for February. Mm-hmm. And so one mother took some cookies in to get up to Frost and
July.
And one lady took rice in and we made chopsticks one day.
Okay.
And I took our butter churn in and we made butter one day.
Mm-hmm. That's educational. Mm-hmm.
One highlight for our students is mid-year celebration. Go normally we celebrate in February. And they have night school. School starts at 2 o'clock. And then we have the school board provides supper at 6 and plans the games for the evening until about 8. And all the children study, we have a traditional waffle supper.
Okay. February is a good month. I mean, not all you can go do something in February because, you know, it's like there's a lot of families at schools, but it's like keep in mind that the winter months are the, especially after the holidays, you kind of, the students all hit a slump because, oh my, all the fun stuff's done. They're done taking vacation. They just took all these trips or whatever they did, and now they got back in the grind of school. They can't always play outside at recess because the you know, it's feeling like, you know, it's snowy or rainy or whatever, and so they're just teachers are always looking for stuff to do in the February months. Okay, anything else?
Well, our school just came through a midweek break where they took a Friday and Monday off, which would have just been last Friday and then Monday this week. But one thing we do in January, and we have done this for years, we do Missions Week, where we focus on missions. This last year it was on Grenada, so we always have a speaker come in and share each morning with the students. They have like chapel service every morning. And then at lunchtime, we have divided the mothers up into groups, and they will fix a meal from different countries. And one other thing we do at the beginning of the school year, we always get bouquets for all of our teachers, and that's just from the school board members. We also do take them out for supper. But we have our school is like three different churches combined, so there's a variety. But we try to, you know, kind of break the monotony. Like you said, that's why we tried this year the midwinter break, just to see how it goes. And the teachers kind of have requested that maybe we do that because, like you said, most of the vacations are the beginning of the school year. And so hopefully, I haven't heard a lot of feedback from the teachers, but hopefully that'll maybe kind of break that monotony. Interesting enough, this year we haven't had any snow days until last week we had two. So we actually got about 2 days of school and then,
I know this year's been strange. I, as a mom, even like snow days, and we just didn't get them this year. Well, he held up a sign saying we have 5 minutes, so you tell me anything else you're thinking of. That's a good idea. They consider, you probably sat around, they visited and stuff then while they were eating their ice cream. Okay. One teacher said that for a motivation for good behavior, she made charts, and they got to put a sticker on their chart every day if they were good. And at the end of the month, then if their chart, if they had their chart filled, she gave them a treat. And this year, she said she is having the mothers take turns bringing their child's favorite pie in. And so no one wants to miss that pie for that month. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like it's special. Each child gets to have his mom come in and bring in his special pie. But it's dragging it out over, I don't know, she didn't even tell me how many students she has. If she teaches just first grade, she probably has quite a few. So might be doing it all year that she's having pie once a month. One mother planned a picnic in the woods, and she made a campfire and everything for the students to enjoy. One mother brought in caramel apples, made caramel apples with the students. One dad that owned a store came and took the children to his store and gave them a tour of the inside workings of a store. They walked in the freezers, through the big storage room, in the lunch room. He gave them all a snack, and in the deli, they each got a piece of meat wrapped in cheese, and then he left them take rides on his little forklift that lifted things up on the higher shelves. So that's something a dad did. Anyway, I had a man teacher send me something. He said, one mother has been helping monitor playtime in the morning before class time. We don't have an aide at the present time. It is as important for the teachers to be in their classrooms, so one of our mothers spent about 15 minutes each morning making sure that the playtime in the gym is safe and monitored. He said, it has been a tremendous blessing, and it's comforting to know that a mom is watching the play between all grade levels. He said, she's obviously been a supportive mom beforehand, but she has gotten interesting insight into the interaction of students at school. She is the secretary for their home business, and it has been the husband that has strongly encouraged her. And he says, blessings to the husband as well. He also said, mothers do miracles for the school by running a secure, safe ship at home that brings the students to school with a song in their hearts. And then he says, solid homes equal great schools. Honor equal and great schools equal honor to the Lord. And he said, I can't say enough about that. So our biggest thing is making sure we're doing what we need to do at home, because that in turn is honoring the Lord and helping our students come to school ready for a good day. There is two scrapbooks over there that I want you to take time in your over the next little while. I brought two just because I thought that way there'll be more time for people to more people can look at it. A mother that went in to have a class to work with girls, and she decided to do a Thanksgiving meal, and the girls of her class invited their mothers and their grandmothers, and she helped them do all the decorating and for art classes, and then they had the meal. She made most of the food, she said, because she didn't have a lot of time to prepare for it. And then now the last couple times she has been having she's been giving them, they brought their pictures, and she's teaching them how to scrapbook their special time that they had there with the grandmothers and mothers. So my niece had a book because she was part of it, and then the mother that had done it gave me her scrapbook too. So you can look at that and see what all they did. And anyway, just a few little closing comments here that I expect to pass through life but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. By William Penn. And Aesop says, no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. So you can remember that. And like I said, you can... I'll try to be around the table that we can look at stuff later on if you have time over lunchtime and stuff, and I'll help you make patterns or whatever you need. So, okay, thank you for your time.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.